Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See ya, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
On today's Part of My Take, we have a lot of sports. Holy shit. What a weekend of sports. We have NBA playoffs kicking off, Phil Mickelson winning the PGA Championship, Stanley Cup playoffs. We have our good friend Paul Bissonnette on the show, who actually, if you're watching on YouTube right now, which please subscribe and upvote every single video on YouTube. That helps us a lot. He's actually sleeping on the couch while we tape this.
So he's going to be with us for the entire episode.
Yeah,
but he'll only speak in like the middle third.
I think what we'll do is at the end of the show, because the end of the show we're going to do
a
Monday reading. Yeah, we'll wake him up. We'll maybe talk a little bit about me being a twice dad now at the end of the show, and we'll also wake up Biz. So make sure you tune in for after Biz for that. But yeah, we got a ton of sports to get to. We're going to get to it all. Before we do that, a word from our friends at...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by BetterHelp.com/PMT. BetterHelp.com/PMT. You can see a therapist online or phone call 10% off when you put in that code PMT. Today is Monday, May 24th, and I would like to say, as a Brooks Koepka fan, I am happy for Phil Mickelson.
So am I. I'm happy for Phil. I'm happy for all the Phil stands out there, of which there are many.
Thumbs up.
They have been, hey, big cat.
Hey, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up to Lefty.
The Phil Mickelson fan club has been dormant for a long time. They haven't had a lot of reason. They've been like the cicadas.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're back. It's been, what, 8 years, 10 years since
a
Phil
long time. So
won a major, and the end of that round, it was cool seeing a crowd that size back out on a golf course.
I was trying to think about it because everyone knows our stance on this show. We have our three guys. We root for them very, very hard, and we try to slander or libel everyone else. But there is a few people that I think are in the category of, holy shit, this is actually awesome. It sucked that Brooks was up against them in the final pairing, but Phil is in that category. Phil and Tiger kind of are those guys where maybe if Freddie Boom Boom Couples ever made a run for it, I'd also root for him. But they're in that category of
good for golf.
It's good for golf, but it's also just fucking cool. It's a cool story. Phil Mickelson is 50 years old. Phil Mickelson won his first tournament, golf tournament, professional golf tournament, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's won a major in three different decades. He's won he's won a tournament in four different decades. He was you just referenced it, PFT, that it's been a very long time. It's been so long. Phil hasn't been in the top 20 in 17 tournaments. It's been so long that he had to get a special exemption for the U.S. Open this year because he was 115th in the world.
Yeah.
Like, that's how long it's been since Phil has been playing really good golf. And then he shows up, And I don't know about you guys, but I was sitting there watching the entire tournament being like, well, Phil's going to – there's the triple bogey's coming. Like, he's going in the drink. Something's going to happen. But no, he was just fucking cool, calm, cool, smaller-titted Phil Mickelson.
I was about to say the only thing I don't like about the new Phil is that he's in too good a shape. His calves are too nice. He doesn't have the man boobs anymore. When Phil was out there dominating with, like, a respectable B cup hanging from his chest, that was cool to watch.
But yes.
It's very cool to see Phil back out there. Like, and with the sunglasses that he was rocking this weekend, I don't know where you even get sunglasses that look like that. It looks like something...
That's cool.
You know Pug's sunglasses, the ones that are in all those truck stops?
Uh-huh.
It looks like something that you would get out of there, but Phil pulled it off.
He pulled it off, and they're probably cool. Very expensive.
And he's got a ton of fans around him, and his fans are very drunk individuals, which I like. Again, things that are good for golf. Having a rowdy gallery is something that, like, I kind of miss, people yelling and, like, being able to hear audibly the slurred words of golf fans in a final round of a major tournament. That's also good for hashtag golf.
It was at the end when the fans, you know, basically swarmed him going up the fairway on the 18th. It was like, oh my God. It was actually happening. It was coinciding with the tip off of the Knicks game at the Mecca, MSG, for those who don't know about it. And there had 15,000 fans there. And it really felt like, oh fuck. Like, we were so used to this world where we convinced ourselves, hey, sports are playing, so it's okay the fans aren't there. No. Fans not being there sucked, because it was fucking awesome when Phil – and you know what? Phil is a great, like, lesson. I think he's one of those guys that everyone roots for, because he's always been, like, good to the fans. And he's always been kind of that people's golfer type feel to him. Lefty, Phil, like, I don't think he even has any association with New Jersey, but every time he golfs in, like, New Jersey, everyone just fucking drunk and is like, Phil!
They feel bad about
the gambling thing.
Yeah, the gambling thing.
For sure. And, like, with Phil, it's also he captured almost an entire generation. He's got, like, Gen Xers. Phil, standing next to Phil Mickelson, like what you saw on the 18th hole, that's Burning Man for Gen Xers.
Yes.
That's as close as they'll get to, like, taking drugs and going to a music festival and discovering their inner selves for 3 days. It's just, like, drinking 17 Coors Lights and then being in the same, like, square mile as Phil Mickelson.
As Phil, as Lefty.
That's what it means to those guys. And also, like, Mickelson, he's a guy that... I always get the feeling like he could show up.
Oh, Piz is moving. Sorry.
Oh, he's rolling around. I always get the feeling like he could show up and be good for at least, like, one round.
Yes.
Or two rounds. But, like, an entire four putting it together is cool to see. Like, Phil's a guy that if he's got a nephew, I assume that his twin brother, who's his caddy, has a son or a daughter. If he's got a nephew or a niece and, like, he catches them smoking cigarettes, Phil will be like, let your uncle have one, show you how it's done. Smoke it all down to the filter in one drag and be like, later, loser.
Yeah.
And walk away. Like,
and peel off.
He's always
in
got
a Mustang that wasn't there before.
Yes. He's always got a trick in his bag ready to go, but it was cool to see him do it for 4 days in a row.
50 years old. They were talking about it, that Phil basically admitted that he didn't have the mental toughness / stamina to compete at a high level for 4 days straight. So recently he had been forcing himself to play 36 holes a day just to, like, push himself. And he actually had a tweet. Did you guys see, like maybe 10 days ago, he had a tweet that was essentially like, it's okay to fail, which is kind of cool to see, because usually that's such a cliche.
It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, it's cliche bullshit that people put online. Like, Gary Vee's like, hey, failure's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Shoot your family in the face and see how that feels. But this was, he said it, he meant it, and then he went and won the PGA Championship. The oldest guy to ever win a major, 50 years old.
And he was hitting bombs, too.
He was hitting bombs.
He had, like, a drive.
He's lefty.
I think 360 yards on the back nine today on Sunday.
He's
just
lefty.
Just bombs. Now, as it pertains to Brooks, I do want to say that as members of Team Brooks, his knee's ahead of schedule. Our knee is ahead of schedule right now, and the Open is the one that we've had circled for
Correct.
A long time, because the Open is the one that Brooks hasn't gotten yet.
Well, and it also, not excuse, guys, but his knee is hurting him, and he wasn't able to get all the way low to read putts, and the putter is what kind of killed him today and this weekend. So, ipso facto, he probably would have won this tournament by 15 strokes if his knee was okay.
Well, they said when he missed his first three-footer of the day that he couldn't get low enough to line up the stripe
exactly.
to aim at the hole.
So
he was essentially flying instrument-free.
Right.
You just basically put Brooks, he's a jet fighter, right? He's used to flying an SR-71 Blackbird spy plane directly through the core of the Earth and out the other side and doing barrel rolls the whole time. You put him in like a 1917 biplane with, you know, two tanks of gas, and he still managed to get across the Atlantic.
Yeah, he was
so
close.
Like, shout out to Brooks. Great job, Brooks. We're ahead of schedule. And he's still, to be fair, Brooks Koepka is still leading on aggregate under par in terms of major tournaments all time.
Yes.
So we still number one.
They had that stat where he's like 50 strokes better than the next guy in the last 5 years. What were you going to say, Hank?
A lot of AWLs out there this weekend.
Yes, so, yeah. Shout out them. Brooks team, the team, the team, the team. You're all part of the team.
And we would never ask you to do what may have happened on the front nine today to Phil and have one of you guys pick up one of Brooks's drives, put it back down in a better lie. We would never ask you to do
that. But do that.
But we would never ask you
to. Do it. But I'm asking.
We would No, you're not. You're telling.
No, no, no. We have an out. PFT is saying do not. I'm saying do.
I speak
you
for the whole
podcast
when I say do not do it.
I speak for the whole podcast when I say, please, will you do it?
Balls in your court.
Quote of the tournament goes to John Rahm for me. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but he had a tough couple days, and he was asked about his round. And this was his quote. So the person asked, like, hey, maybe not ending it the way you wanted, but in your estimation on the golf course, does this open things up for the leaders to score a little bit this afternoon, talking about a 3-over for the championship? He said, I don't know and I don't care, to be honest. I hit the ball tee to green as well as I could have for most of the part and barely made any putts. And, yeah, I'm not really happy. And to be honest, being in the 40th place and finishing bogey-bogey like that, I really don't want to be here right now. I mean, clearly the scores are out there. It's very doable right now. 68, 67 is out there. It's possible. I had every chance. I just couldn't make a putt. That was great, though, saying, I don't want to be here. I just don't want to be here.
Biz is moving his foot right now. He just moved his leg up.
See if he'll say something in the mic. Biz, do you have anything in the mic you want to say?
What are your thoughts on
Biz is coming up in a minute. He actually was coherent for our interview, semi-coherent, but now he is passed out. If you're watching on YouTube, again, subscribe on YouTube, please. And thumb up every single
For Phil
video. Yes.
Thumbs up for Lefty.
Yes. Yes. I want to put one in someone's ear hole real quick. Kyle Porter on CBS.
Yeah.
I've seen this guy a couple times. I don't know what his fucking deal is. Okay? This is what he said. It's going to be wild when two players from different generations step to the tee in the final pairing today. And the one who has a knee problem, horrific fashion sense, and a midlife crisis growing on his face is actually not the 50-year-old. Hey, buddy, shut the frick up. And I say that because he's an elder at the Messiah Church of Richardson. He puts that in his bio.
No, respectfully,
shut the frick up, dude.
Shut the heck
shut
up.
Shut your heckin' frickin' mouth.
It's honestly, like, that's kind of a cheap shot.
Total cheap shot. And, hey,
You know what? It sounds to me like he's a little bit rooting for injuries.
Yes. Also, I saw that there were a lot of people coming at the fashion sense of both Brooks and Tony Finau, who were wearing Nike Golf. Guess what? Ever heard of Derelict? Okay. The next fashion wave, you don't even know it. You're actually, should we call them? I mean, they're Chugy.
The Nike hats?
No, the people who think those Nike hats are lame.
I think they can't understand
fashion outside the box.
So
they just want a fucking nice little, you know, white hat.
I think that they can both be Chugy. But you know what? Sometimes Chugy is good.
Yeah, fashion forward.
It's called fashion, bro. That's what Brooks said about the off-whites, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like golf journalists getting to decide what's cool as far as fashion goes. We have to take a stand somewhere as a society.
Yeah.
And when you have golf journalists deciding what good fashion sense is for clothes and facial hair, I think at that point we need to take away their card.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Kyle Porter.
Howder boy Will Zalatoris.
All right, so we have updates from both of our other guys. Will Zalatoris did okay. Also saw him post an Instagram after the tournament. He's flying private planes now, so he's doing great. Like, mm-hmm. That's a win.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's upgraded. Max, so little editor's note on Thursday's podcast. We recorded it around 4 or 5 o'clock. I think I said in the show that Max was minus 3, tied for 12th. He was at the time. And then whatever happened after that. Let's just hold that moment in time forever.
Max was top 12 on Thursday.
He was, Let's hold that moment of time, and we don't have to talk about the rest of the weekend. Well, it wasn't actually technically a weekend. It was just Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about a golf tournament, it's all the weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't. There was no weekend days for Max this weekend.
But he was top 12 at one point.
Well, actually, no, I should take that back. Max did have a weekend. He actually had a great weekend.
He got to enjoy his weekend.
He got to go hang out with his family for the weekend.
My favorite thing about golf when it's played like on an ocean course or near anytime it's nearby any body of water is just the announcers always saying, now this putt's going to break away from the ocean.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they are aware how gravity works with slopes and things, but when they say it's always going to break away from the ocean, I believe it. But I don't think that's 100% true all the time.
It's also, the course was windy. It was cool. It was cool that it was windy, but also it was on the ocean. It was windy.
They also said, what's his name? Scott. Which is the Scott that's the announcer? Not Scott Van Pelt. Not that guy. The other Scott. Scotty Too Hottie was saying that, first of all, he told a story about Phil Mickelson and gambling and tried to edit himself by changing the numbers of the units that they were betting against each other.
Yep.
But it was obvious all he was doing was just taking away three zeros.
Yeah.
So he's like, I bet Phil $1, and then he counter bet me $1, then I bet him $5, and then Phil said, no, let's make it a $20 bet. It's like, dude, we know exactly. You're not masking it the way that you think that you're masking it.
Right.
But then he also said that, yes, Phil Mickelson won this weekend, but he, in fact, said that the course was the real winner for how it performed on Sunday.
Yes.
And we'll see this back in the rotation of PGA Championships.
The ocean course.
The ocean course. Yes. You can also say the ocean course about like any place.
I just like it because it means that it's really nice, because usually when it's when they have to clarify, that means there's probably like three or four courses at this club.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ocean course.
Or Bethpage Black.
Mm-hmm.
Have they ever played
not
anything?
Blue, not like red.
Bethpage not green. Gray?
Yeah, no. Black.
Black.
Yes. Black Diamonds. All right, but yeah, congrats to Phil. That was a fucking awesome story. That was, it's the cheesy, like, sports rule moment. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Watching Phil on Sunday, all weekend, really, sports fucking rule.
I do feel a little bit bad that somebody tried to go, like, Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan on Brooks's knee in the crowd.
Yeah, but we don't have to talk about that.
We don't have
that.
To talk about
just
that.
Just everyone watch yourself. Less bumping into Brooks, more picking up his ball and putting it in the hole for him.
Yes. No, but yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
Put it on a tee.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
No. All right, let's talk some other things. Let's talk some other sports. Let's talk
NBA.
Let's talk about the NBA. Washington Capitals season being over.
Let's get soggy.
Before,
I don't think we need to get soggy, Hank.
Are people asking you to get soggy? Did you say it was Caps year?
No, I never said it was Caps year. Mm. We're not getting soggy. We're getting al dente with pasta.
Mm.
The complete opposite of soggy. We're going to eat pasta until we puke. If you want to join me, Hank, I think that'd be fun.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
And Chardonnay. So we got to figure out a time to do that. All right, the bottom line is the Caps are not a good hockey team. They did not deserve to win this series. Hank, congratulations. Your Bruins beat undermanned, injured shell of a playoff hockey team. Good job. Very proud
Boo.
Of you. You beat Zdeno Chara, the guy that you ran out of town, the guy that you couldn't stand to see a second more wearing the
Did you guys win
the
game
gold
one?
And black.
Touching stuff in the handshake.
Yeah, was this a gentleman's sweep?
It was a gentleman's sweep, in fact.
Shit.
Yeah. Hank, gentleman's sweep. Man.
Gentleman shit pumping.
Hey, good to see you get a win.
Yeah. Someone tweeted me the Kevin Malone win. GIF. It's just nice to win one in that.
Yeah.
That's honestly how I feel.
You needed it. So you're now down not quite as bad. Not historically bad.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a series, too.
No.
I mean, especially the first three games going to overtime, and then that was just it. They just ran out of gas.
The Russian gas. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I don't feel great about it, obviously, but this was not a team that, with the exception of like the immediate aftermath of the Tom Wilson incident, where it seemed like the stars were aligning. Once I actually saw them playing in the playoffs, I was like, this is not It'd be Cap if I were to say that it was Cap's year.
Yes, yes, it would be Cap.
And I get to continue to use Cap now,
yes.
Which everybody's really excited about.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now you're Cap.
If you're going to lose, you might... What is Biz? Okay, is he alive?
Just making sure, yeah. I'm just making sure. That
if you're going to lose, you might as well lose in like a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that there is something to be said. As much as fun as it is to have your team make a deep run, like if your team doesn't have it, just... be out and be the first team. I guess they were technically the second team out, but by the third round of the playoffs, no one will even remember the Capitals were in the playoffs.
You know what? We bowed out today.
Yeah.
It was a classic bow out. All class from the Capitals. I would have liked to have seen a playoff game in DC with like a full Capital One arena. That would have been cool.
Yes.
But yeah, just not a quality team. Should we put a little slice of pizza underneath Biz's significant nose and see if you can smell it?
No, we're gonna do it after. We're gonna do it after his interview.
Okay,
we're gonna wake him up.
But yeah, congratulations, Hank. I will fulfill the not the soggy sorrow, but the pizza bet. We need to figure out when we're doing that. We should do that in a live stream.
Yes.
Yeah, hopefully it's Bruins Islanders because the live streams would be great.
And you just sitting in the back,
yeah.
Just housing pizza.
We could go to Borelli's.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd go to Borelli's for that.
Because I'm going to root for the Islanders against the Bruins. I want to see Frankie win.
I would go to the Borelli's for that.
Yeah.
And just watch you just go to town on pizza. Although.
No, it's not pizza, it's pasta.
Pasta. Although, going to Borelli's, like, yeah, that's very disrespectful to puke Mr. Borelli's pasta up.
You think so?
Yes.
If I eat enough of it?
I ate so much.
I think that's disrespectful. I think that's a crime against the family.
That's a bet.
You're going to need to sit down after
I'm gonna
that.
I'm going to sit down with him?
Yeah.
That's a bet.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm excited for that. All right. Oh, Biz is moving again. Nope. He is staying asleep. The best part about Biz sleeping on the couch during this entire show is I guarantee you his hotel room is like two blocks away tops.
Yeah. I was in here with him earlier, and he was kept complimenting the couch. He's like, this is such a good couch. Like, this couch is awesome.
He was just feeling you out to see if it was okay if he just laid down on it.
Do you think he's like listening to us?
No. Well, subliminally.
You think
so? He'll wake up in a little bit, and he'll have our exact same takes. He did ask me like 7 times who was on the show tomorrow after we recorded our interview with him.
Let's see what this does. Okay, no, he's not picking up his phone. I thought maybe he would pick up his phone, but he's dead to the world.
Should we steal his wallet?
Yes, absolutely.
Jake, can you steal his wallet?
Steal his Rolex.
Jake, steal something.
Re-gift it to Grinnelli.
Steal something from him.
And then tell everyone about how we gave it to him.
Here we go, Jake.
So everyone can be like, oh my God, Jake's getting up. Oh, Jake has his phone.
He's got his phone. He stole his wallet.
He stole his phone. He's got a missed call. He's got cameo requests. We should probably do those.
Is he password protected?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Biz is coming up in a minute. He is coherent for our interview with him. Let's talk some NBA. Let's talk some NBA players. Because we're going to talk about all of the Stanley Cup playoffs with Biz. We go through the series and everything. Where do we want to start with NBA?
I have a take. It's about the Celtics and the Nets.
Okay.
Obviously, the Celtics lost.
Fire away.
First half, though.
They had a great first half. They had a chance. Kemba Walker played terribly in the second half, and the series is basically over. Sweep, maybe gentleman sweep. But
no, that's not how that works.
Whatever. Who cares? Maybe gentleman sweep for the Celtics.
You'd have to win.
Right.
Right.
But that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Kevin Durant, they kept saying it during the broadcast, like Kevin Durant came to Brooklyn because Brooklyn's cool and he didn't want to go to New York. He was proven wrong in one season. It's not like he was proven right over time. He was so wrong about that. And if he was on the Knicks right now, it's already insane. Everyone's going crazy just because they're in the playoffs. They're not even that good of a team. If Kevin Durant was on this team, people would be going insane.
They were trying to make Brooklyn and like the Nets, and let's at least slow down a little bit because our friend Blake Griffin had a great game.
But they never talk about him.
Plus one on the court.
They
no
just
big
talk
deal.
About the big three. Kind of disrespectful.
They were trying so hard to make it like MSG or Staples Center by showing like the celebrities in the crowd, and it was just old giants. It was just Michael Strahan and OC Uminyora.
They probably paid them money to go there.
Yes, correct.
Like it, we were just talking about this
trying to make it happen.
Like at MSG, they always do Celebrity Row where they show the celebrity, and it's always Christopher Maloney from Law and Order. Like no matter what,
Woody Allen.
I've seen Christopher Maloney at Knicks games. I've seen him at Rangers games. I'm pretty sure he was at the dog show. But they always have like natural.
Yeah,
they always have like natural
Michael
celebrities
Rappaport.
There. This one was just like a block of tickets that they gave to the New York Giants. And they're like, yes, distribute these please. As you see fit.
See, could someone please invite Eli?
Yes.
Oh, nope, Eli's not coming. But it was painful how hard they're trying. The other thing I had from that game was the first half, the Celtics were like, oh, this could be a series. Then you remembered, like, the Nets just trade off possessions where it's like, oh, here's Kevin Durant, you know, shooting a turnaround, like, 15-footer over everyone. Here's Kyrie Irving finishing at the rim like no one else in the league. Here's James Harden, you know, hitting threes and getting fouled going to the – they just – when they all – like, all three of them are just so fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I don't
– And Blake.
I don't know how – and Blake. I don't know – and Joe Harris. I don't know how, like, you stop them. I just don't.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Also, is James Harden also back to being like a little bit chubby?
Yeah, he's the number one on their team. I said it. He's the guy who keeps it going because when he was out, they were a different team. He's the straw that stirs the drink.
No, but I'm saying like physically, yes, his body, correct. He's yes. looking good.
Also,
like
that.
He is looking healthy in the classical sense. Like,
yeah,
he's
got to put on some
old paintings of people
for playoffs. And it is really, it's not talked about enough that this is the perfect setup for James Harden because every single year the playoffs come around and it's like James Harden has to do so much and they call him differently than they do in the regular season and he fails like spectacularly on a public stage. Now he has Kyrie and Kevin Durant to help him out. And he like... Those guys are the guys, and he's somehow like the third piece, even though he's not.
And also Jeff Green, who will be in the NBA for the next 25 years,
forever.
Probably.
Because he just does not age.
Yes.
His face does not
age. He looks the exact same as he did when he got into the league.
They've been calling him Uncle Jeff Green for 20 years.
This might be 20 years
ago, he was 28.
This might be a good Jake assignment, but I was thinking as I was watching the game, because they only talk about how Durant, Harden, and Kyrie account for like 87% of all the points. Like, we got to just do the kind of Kwame Brown and just add Blake in there.
Yes.
So it's like Blake,
the old
Kevin.
The old Hank Aaron, Tommy Aaron.
Yes.
Tommy Aaron hit 13 home runs. Hank Aaron hit whatever, 7.
But I think we got to start doing that on Twitter and stuff and really get it out there where it's like, and put Blake Griffin first.
Correct.
Like Blake Griffin.
The big four.
Kevin Durant, yeah. James Harden, and Kyrie Irving accounted for 90% of the
points. I like that. And like Hank Lockwood and Jake Marsh have combined to win 7 games of ping pong in a row together.
Correct.
That's true.
Congratulations.
Thanks. That's also a fact.
Blake was a plus one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Plus one.
So
he had one point.
Positive impact.
He had plus
on the game.
One. Yeah. He had 1 point.
Right. So it's like, I think it was 83% for Kevin Durant. So it's like 84.
Yeah, he's plus one. When he was on the court, they were winning. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Blake won that game himself.
That's a fact. All right. Other games. There was actually the first round of the playoffs are awesome. Oh, I'm going to be the bigger person and point out, because I was asleep on Friday night by the time the game like ended, but I'm not going to point out the fact that as cool as Wednesday night was with the playing game, you know, it would be cooler as if Steph Curry was actually still in the playoffs because he was the 8 seed, but now we get the Grizzlies. But I'm not going to point that out.
Don't point that out.
That was good by me, right? Because it would be cool to have Steph Curry in the series against Utah, wouldn't you say?
I think a lot of people have said that, but I don't think that we need to necessarily say that ourselves.
The Heat, Bucks. I think that's going 7.
Giannis can't shoot free throws.
Yeah.
Well, not in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
There are people.
Chris Middleton, maybe he's the guy.
So there are people that are complaining about the Giannis call, but they were like, the Heat told the ref, they were like, hey, he's taking 13 seconds every time with the ball.
Yeah.
The ref can't, at that point, like, ignore it and let him go 13 seconds.
Correct.
Rules are rules.
You filed we had Christian Horner on Friday. You have to...
You file the complaint.
File the complaint.
And then I think it was Jeff Van Gundy brought it up to, like, when LeBron was shooting free throws and saying he steps over the line every time, like, before it gets to the rim.
Yes.
We need to call him on that. Like, rules are rules, right?
Shaq used to do that all
without
the time.
LeBron's been doing that for a long
there's
time.
There's chaos.
All right, so that game, that was a great game.
J-Butt.
Fucking awesome game. J-Butt.
422.
Hated
he played
the,
poorly.
But. Hated the Heat jerseys. Pisses me off.
Oh,
so
yeah,
much.
No, Roan, our friend Roan said it, or if you know him also as Angelo Palantonio on this show, he said it perfectly. The Heat basically were like, hey, the Pacers didn't make the playoffs, let's just wear their fucking jerseys. Like, it made no sense.
Yeah.
That, not to get really mad, but that is essentially like, that's becoming like European soccer. How European soccer, watching European soccer in this office the last few years, like, you will watch when Troops has Arsenal on, you will sometimes watch they'll be wearing teal, they'll be wearing red, they'll be wearing yellow. It's like, How do you have that many colors?
Mm-hmm. I think
none of these colors are the same.
And when you're the Heat, you've got great jerseys already.
Great jerseys.
Wear those.
Wear those.
And shout
three
out
colors.
Also.
You get three yes. colors to, yep. to mix and match.
Yeah, we sound very old, but I agree.
I don't care.
I know, I agree. When you turn on that game
the Heat
and they're wearing
yellow,
yeah. you're like, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm.
It made no sense. They're Arizona State now?
If it's like a throwback, like when the Lakers wear the blue jerseys because it's like those were their old jerseys,
right.
that's one thing. But
even I'm okay with wearing a different color if white is the main color because then it's like, oh, okay, it's a different home. Yellow just is not their color. Like if they're wearing
it's in the
pink,
logo, Pantone wearing, PMS 137.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
The flame.
It's the color of the flame. Flame.
Right.
The flame is
fine.
Yellow.
Fine, fine. Yeah.
Should the flame be white, though? Like, isn't white a hotter flame?
Usually, they do white hot.
They went with the sabermetrically the least hot color of flame. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As that's bad.
They have the white
that's
ring.
Why they lost.
Yeah, but the yellow flame.
Clearly why they lost.
137.
Shout out Duncan Robinson.
Shout out Duncan
also
Robinson.
Had a great game.
Yes. Are the Clippers, is Kawhi's legacy on the line? That's
yes.
what people are asking.
Yes, it is. This is a legacy series.
This is a legacy
because series. If you lose against the same team twice in back-to-back years, and that team doesn't eventually go on to win the championship.
Wait, last year they...
The bubble? They lost to the Mavericks in the bubble, didn't they?
I thought they lost to the Nuggets.
Am I wrong? I've been wrong before.
You're remembering that incredible Luka game?
I am, yes.
Where he hit the game winner?
You're right. That's
which was incredible, but I'm pretty sure they lost to the bubble Nuggets.
Okay.
Denver over Clippers.
All right, yeah. My fault.
That's okay.
Western semifinal.
But yeah.
No, just readjust. Pivot your point.
I'm going to
pivot. You still have your pivot foot.
Listen, my point remains exactly the same, even if my facts are incorrect. My take's not going to change.
No. Don't ever change a take.
You told me that. Hang on. Wait. Where's the camera? You told me you were assembling a super team. You said I was led to believe that the Clippers were going to win three titles in a row when you assembled that team with that defense. And you go out, you get Mr. Big Shot free agent, Kawhi Leonard, Mr. Free Agent signing of the summer. And you can't even get to a finals. Get out of my face.
Playoff P?
Playoff poo poo.
Yeah, got him. Playoff PU.
I did see Stephen A. Smith. Skip Bayless had a great take. If you wondered what went wrong in that game, by the way, Skip says, I just figured out what I did wrong. I ran for an hour before the Clippers game, didn't have time to take a shower, so put on the Versace robe Lil Wayne gave me for Christmas. He's a Lakers fanatic. The gold robe jinxed me. Never again will I wear it during a Clippers game. That's three awesome brags the same take on why he got jinxed by Lil Wayne's Lakers robe.
That's great. Luka's awesome. I love the Clippers because the Clippers are one of those teams that bring out like the worst takes in media. Because on paper, they should be good. So now, if they're not good, if they don't win this series, do they hate playing with each other? They hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Who did Playoff P fuck?
Oh, yeah. It quickly turns into someone's girlfriend got pregnant.
Because
with
it makes those,
P.
like, hey, maybe they're just not that good.
Mm-hmm.
But no. They were supposed to be the best. This was supposed to be their town now, so we have to find a different reason for why they suck.
We were led to believe is my favorite take, because
yeah.
it's usually the people who did the leading to believe
correct.
That then say we were led to.
Yes.
We were told that they were going to be a superstar team that would win multiple titles. And it's like, no, you told us that,
yes.
and then you incepted yourself into thinking everyone else thought the same way you
correct.
Do. But yeah,
it's the Eric Andre meme.
I'm shooting him
being like, how could you do this?
Exactly. I do think that like I have fun watching Playoff P fail in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm starting to
it's kind of fun.
Not there, but I'm getting close. Picture me actually feeling bad for Playoff P.
I'm not there yet.
No, but picture me feeling bad for Playoff P.
At that point you
and then switching back and forth between feeling bad and making fun of him
mm-hmm.
with my dick in your clit. I didn't watch our Nuggets, but this is a matchup nightmare for them. So, and also Melo fucking putting it to the Denver crowd
mm-hmm.
who were booing him. I love it.
CJ
I love Melo.
Too.
Yeah, CJ as well.
Wild.
So, yeah, wild.
Very
he
wild.
Played there.
He was drafted.
And now he's playing there.
Wait, so when he
against
was
against them, opponent locker room.
Whoa.
Wow, same building?
Yes, they changed the name.
They changed the name. Now it's Ball.
I feel bad for Jokic because he's going to be like, remember that year when Dirk won the MVP, but they were still giving out MVPs like during the second round? Like they physically were, and he had to go accept it, even though they'd already been bounced. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to happen to Jokic.
So you know what else is wild about Carmelo? So he played in that same building after he was drafted. His coach in college, you guessed it, Buddy Boeheim's dad.
Oh, also, wait. Is it also Jimmy Boeheim's dad?
It is, yeah.
Oh,
the same.
Wild.
Wild.
Crazy.
Wild.
Small world, guys.
All right. The Sixers, Wizards.
Bullets. In the playoffs, we call them the Bullets.
The Bullets. I just love Ben Simmons' stat line. He also
can't shoot free throws.
That's the most Ben Simmons stat line ever. He went 6 points, 15 rebounds, 15 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how?
He did shoot a three, though.
How do you... He really is... Like, he might be the greatest basketball player who cannot score of all time.
I think he's kind of like, he's broken
like
the game.
He can't score.
You would think that it would be impossible for a guy that is bad at shooting to be an elite basketball player.
Yeah.
But he somehow figured out a way to be insanely good at basketball while also not scoring points, which is, like, he's just such a good facilitator.
Yeah. He is like, the apex. Like, there is that guy who exists in every like pickup basketball game who can do literally everything but shoot the basketball. And it's like, how does he just jump over everyone?
Mm-hmm.
How does he like dribble past everyone? But he can't shoot. He just forgot that part of the game.
What do you think would solve his... Because he obviously is like a very good athlete.
Oh, he's an incredible athlete. He's got it in
his system.
He's a great
defender. To potentially be good at shooting a basketball. It's in there somewhere. Like a hypnotist?
I kind of like the fact that, like, I feel like the Sixers maybe, I mean, we'll see, because they're the one seed, and the East is kind of theirs to win. Obviously, the Nets are loaded, but, like, maybe they figured it out that, like, just never expect Ben Simmons to score more than 15 points, and you're good. He can do everything else. It's okay to do everything else.
Yeah.
He is an incredible defender, and, I mean, you can't get, like, a more physically dominating point guard in like his height and everything. So maybe that's just the answer. I mean, obviously it helped that Tobias Harris went off, but
him and Embiid though, shooting free throws at the end of a game. It's a nightmare.
Just take them both out. Yeah.
That's your two best defensive guys.
All right. And so we've waited long enough. Let's talk about Bron. Him dying.
First of all, I think before we talk about LeBron, we should make sure, Jake, can you look up and make sure that LeBron James is healthy and that he doesn't have a serious injury that he sustained? I would feel bad personally joking about that if he was hurt, if he was like in the hospital. What's the outcome of that?
He's okay?
His Wikipedia says he's alive.
Okay. He should have been suspended for this game, by the way, for the tequila party.
That is the funniest part to me, because... What would LeBron James have to do to get suspended by Adam Silver?
Like,
shoot up an airport?
Kill Adam Silver's family?
Adam Silver would be like, I sympathize with the players' concerns over travel
restrictions. But we really need these ratings for game one.
Yeah.
Wait, so did you see the theory that it was a Kardashian setup? Because that's her. Which one? Kylie?
Kendall dates Devin Booker.
And it's Kendall's tequila. And she was trying to get him suspended for game one.
Mm-hmm.
Which, why would you do game one? Like, the Lakers never win game ones. So, or LeBron doesn't. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've been on the other side of him when, like, the Bulls used to beat him in game one. I'd be like, this is the year.
That was his feeling
it's
out
gonna
game.
It's going to happen. Yeah. And then you just fucking rip your soul out. So, the injury. Well, CP3, that was such a classic CP3 moment where it's like, oh, of course he's going to get injured. Which I think still will happen. But it was a freak thing. Sucks, but he came back, and I don't know how injured he is, but only to be upstaged by LeBron, which so put this clip, like, actually put the clip, Liam, while we're talking about it. If you notice, so LeBron goes down after a guy who's like a foot smaller than him boxes him out, and LeBron's basically dead on the ground, sniper shot from the ceiling.
A pretty much dislocated shoulder.
Right. So he's got all the eyes on him. And then a funny thing happens. My man Cam Payne decides, you know what? I'm going to step up for my teammates. A little scuffle, a little brouhaha happens at around like the elbow 3-point area, right? LeBron looks up and he sees oh no, all the attention is off of me. So the scuffle happens. LeBron gets up. He walks over to where the scuffle happened, and then he collapses again at that exact spot so that everyone then looks at LeBron and his pretty much broken shoulder. Uh-huh. And I just have to say, chef's kiss, that was truly the GOAT of, like, LeBron, you know, injury antics, which I'm actually now getting to the point where I love it because it just adds such a funny element to the game. And of course, people say you guys are LeBron haters. Yes, I'm a LeBron hater, but I also admit that he's fucking insane. Second best player of all time, yada, yada, yada. If you can't at least laugh and be like, dude, this is ridiculous. The guy who never gets injured is always getting injured in the most horrific fashion.
Oh, I flipped on LeBron's injury thing in the playing game. When he, like,
pull it up,
when he opened up his eyes and it looked like he was actually dead. LeBron James thought that he was dead.
Yes.
During the play. Like, it was, yeah, he got poked in the eye. But if you're inside his brain, he actually thought either he had been sucked into the vortex and he was playing with the Toon Squad again, or he thought that he was seriously dead. And he opens his eyes and it was a miracle. And in his brain, it's a miracle that he was able to play in that game. In this game, I don't think he does it on purpose. I think it's just like part of his nature.
Theatrics.
This is just what, ever since he's been involved with the EPL.
Yeah.
He's learned.
But he's been doing this forever. Remember when he dove into the cameras? Watch this. Watch this. Ready? Okay. So he goes down.
Yep.
And
he's writhing.
And he's writhing in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And now, okay, everyone's watching LeBron. Oh, no. The camera's going to this fight. And
okay, campaign then he sits up.
Okay. Wow. This fight. Everyone's looking at this fight. LeBron is left dying in the paint. And no one is paying attention to him.
Uh-huh.
This is tragic. LeBron then gets up, finds the energy to just walk over, and then gets the exact same spot where the scuffle happened, up, and he's dead again. And he goes back down on his knees, where he then has the trainers check him out at the scene of the fight. It's just, it is the most...
It was also, let's be honest.
I can't get enough.
It was kind of a borderline dirty play on Chris Paul.
I can't get enough.
On the rebound. Did
it.
You see that? So, like, Chris Paul grabs him, tries to do the Kelly Olynyk, but Chris Paul is just too small that he can't. He's not strong enough to pull his arm out of his shoulder, and that's what sent him down onto the ground. So, like, I think, you know what? I think that's what LeBron was actually saying was the injury. I don't think it had anything to do with the fall. I think it was the pull that he was trying to embellish to the point of having, like, a stage two separation.
Right, right. I just, oh, my God. I was watching it, and it's truly, like, it. I know people always like, hey, you need to really appreciate living through the LeBron era. I appreciated that moment when he had the wherewithal to get up and get re-injured in the exact spot where all the action and cameras were.
Mm-hmm.
That is just truly special. And I know LeBron fans would be like, oh, stop talking about his fight. He makes it part of his game. It's fair game to talk about this because every game he dies. And every game he's awesome. And he's probably going... I responsibly, 1-800-GAMBLER, if you have a problem, I think the Lakers, game two, is the lock of my lifetime. Like, I think LeBron will answer. You know what I mean? And AD, like we said, like, he forgets that he's a 7-footer. He thinks he's a mouse. He's an elephant. The Lakers will be fine in this series. And LeBron will start dominating... And it will all be for naught, but that, I mean, Suns, like, it was fun to see the Suns crowd, their jerseys back in the playoffs, all that stuff. And they have a fucking good team. Their team is awesome.
I disagree with you. I think the Suns are going to win.
Really?
I think they're going to win the series.
I've just been down this path too many times. Like, yeah. It's just too many times for LeBron to give up game one and to be like, oh, there it is.
The only
and
thing is, I think he's met his match with Chris Paul. I feel like they're two sides of the same coin.
When he wants to take over, he can't. He is still, when he wants to be the most dominating player, like, he scored 18 points today. Like, he didn't push it. He took 13 shots. He was hungover,
Big Cat.
And AD was not good. AD, like, I do think that obviously is, LeBron can obviously only do so much at his age, which is a lot, but he does need Anthony Davis to play, like, peak Anthony Davis. And I'm sure that will happen, too. And then the Lakers will win 6 or 7. And then we'll be like, oh, well, that was fun to think that the Suns had a chance.
No, nope, Suns are going to win.
Hold on. This is Biz snoring. Oh, did he stop? All right, the Mecca. The Mecca is back.
Mecca was rocking big time.
The Knicks fan base. It's cool to see this.
It's cute.
Oh.
Hmm.
Oh.
They're just happy to be here.
Wow.
You think that's cute?
Oh, okay.
Well, I saw they lost the game today.
They did, yeah.
They were in it. They had a chance to win. They didn't.
Uh-huh. But isn't that...
And there were so many Knicks fans that were like, that was so much fun.
But
this is awesome.
And I didn't actually see any Knicks fans being like, this is so much fun. I'm just glad to be here.
I saw a person that was there that was like, that was awesome.
Trigger
that was
warning,
their takeaway from the game.
Trigger warning for Knicks fans, but I'm going to say this. Isn't the epitome of Knicks basketball being back is to have an awesome player go to the Mecca and just rip the soul out of all Knicks fans? Like, that's kind of Knicks basketball, at least since I've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's that actually should feel really back. Like,
well, it should
it's
feel
really
familiar.
Yeah, familiar. Like, oh, this is Reggie Miller or Michael Jordan or uh-huh. Scottie Pippen. Like, this is it. This feels good.
The atmosphere did look cool, though. Like, having the Mecca rocking like that.
Yeah. And the Knicks... The Knicks lead the league, and it's been so long since they've had a playoff game, and it is fun. I'm rooting for them because I want Derrick Rose to do well, and I do love Tom Thibodeau, who needs to size up in his Q-zip. He needs to. Like, I'm sorry, but he needs to. He looks like a Pixar villain when he's, like, squeezed into that thing.
Yeah, a little bit. I think, like, with his slick back hair and the French name and the hard coat, he's basically a hockey coach.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. He is a hockey coach.
So I like the suit not fit. If Tibbs rolled out there looking like GQ,
yeah,
that would be concerning to me. The players wouldn't play as hard for Tibbs if he wore an outfit that fit.
I do think the Knicks are going to win this series. I do think they'll make adjustments. And I love that the Mecca leads the league in dudes rocking jerseys with nothing underneath. It's fucking awesome. And it's every age. You see, like, 8-year-olds, you can see 60-year-old Wall Street guys, they got the jersey on, and they got no t-shirt underneath.
Gold chain underneath, though.
Gold chain
is the only thing that's permitted.
It's something about that look that brings, like, a springtime, summertime playoff energy that I love. I just love it.
It's been a while since somebody has had to shush the crowd at MSG.
Yeah.
So, like, although Trae Young does need some work on his shushing, it was like his shush was...
Yeah.
Like, his finger was at his forehead, basically.
It was a weird shush, yeah.
He was covering up the hairline, I think.
Yes.
But it was a weird shush, he needs work on that. But that kind of goes along with having a guy suck the soul out. Like, getting shushed at MSG by an opposing player. I don't know, it brought back Reggie Miller to me a little bit.
Yes, yes, exactly. And Spike Lee looking like, how could this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good that it's happening. That's my point.
I do want them to win. I want to see, like, multiple rounds of playoffs.
I want to see Nets versus Knicks, which I think would only happen in the Eastern Conference Final. But that would be sick. And then the Jazz are playing right now. I don't know.
They're the Jazz.
I mean, they should be playing the Warriors. But again, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say that. It was cool that we had that Wednesday night moment. It's awesome that we don't have Steph Curry in the playoffs, even though they had the eighth seed. Again, not going to say it. F1. Monaco.
Did we give him the PMT bump?
I think so.
Christian Hornier.
We'll take credit for it.
He pissed in the right toilet. He found his lucky toilet, and Matt
Verstappen. Max Verstappen.
Took the checkered flag.
Yes.
And that was talking F1.
They're back. And then soccer ended today. But.
By the way, I saw episode 2.
Yeah.
Or no, episode 4 now.
Okay.
Fucking Renault with the contract dispute, and then they fucking get Ricardo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spoiler
exactly.
alert.
It's crazy. Well, yeah. If you haven't watched yet. But he's on that team, and also the team has totally changed their name.
Yeah, I noticed that today. When I was looking at the standings, I was like, where's Renault?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's fun to talk F1. And also, I learned what a gearbox is.
Yeah, what is a gearbox? Because
it's a box of gears.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm just so thrilled that I have a new group of fans that I can just pretend I know what I'm talking about, and then them get mad at me, and then me be like, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't even.
Is Red Bull Racing bad for F1?
No, but the Constructors' Cup is back on.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's what they call it, Constructors. Is it Constructors? I think it's Constructors, right?
Did you seriously just look at me like I...
What do you get when you win the Constructor?
Constructor?
The Constructor standings.
Yeah.
Oh, Constructor standings. Yeah, yeah. The table.
I just added a cup. That's fine.
It's the table.
Yeah, yeah. But there's two tables.
Yeah.
There's the singular table, and then there's the team table.
Right, team table.
Yeah, Max
obviously.
Verstappen is on the top of the regular.
Well, he's not a great teammate.
Person, yeah. Oh, Biz just got a text. No, he got a notification. Okay.
I think after the interview, we should tell him what happened with McDavid at the end of his game.
Oh, what happened?
Save it.
T-
teaser.
Well, hey, so tell us what happened.
No.
Just, oh, okay. We'll say he got.
No, well, something did happen. They lost. Oh. They blew a 4-1 lead.
Oh wow. Okay.
What did McDavid do?
Well, he retired. His team is fucked.
He decided to retire.
He quit. He took his jersey off.
Yeah. He said, I'm out of here. All right, let's do our Who's Back of the Week. Then we have Biz. And then at the end, we'll wake him up. We'll do a little Monday reading, and we'll do a little I Had Another Kid talk. All right. Who's Back of the Week is brought to you by Cash App, the stock market, investing through Cash App, buying and selling Bitcoin. That is all back. Yeah, you can do it all on the Cash App. It's super easy to do. It links directly to your bank account. It's awesome. So go check out the Cash App, buy and sell Bitcoin, and play some stock market. And of course, when you download the Cash App, enter the referral code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to the ASPCA. Download the Cash App from the App Store, Google Play Store today, and get involved with our friends at the Cash App. Also, shout out the Cash App. They're the ones who got us Christian Horner on Friday. So if you like that interview, if you want us to talk about F1, please support the Cash App. Okay, Hank. Who's back?
My who's back. I have a couple. First one's chugging beers.
Yugging.
I mean, it's part of it's both of my who's backs are crowd related. But that's just, you know, Taylor Luan, our coworker, busting with the
Taywin.
Boys. Taywin Luan.
Taywin.
What about Zach Wilson? He didn't yug a beer. He yugged a H2O. He yugged a water.
True. Really?
That's responsible.
Yeah, because he's Mormon.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Then my other who's back is old jerseys.
I thought it was because he was under 21.
Oh, he might be. He definitely. That's actually not a bad explanation. If I were him, I would give that because he
21.
He would definitely get carded,
right?
If he went to try to buy a beer, and he could be like, "I didn't have my ID on."
Right.
Old jerseys. I was on the way to work today. I saw a guy in a Porzingis jersey.
Yeah, the Porzingis
Jose
one makes
Calderon.
No sense. Yeah,
like there's. I think it's because of the pandemic. You know, people haven't been going to games, haven't been buying jerseys, so it's like you basically have a 2-year.
Two-year window
where you're like, oh, fuck, let's just go. And you know, it's been 2 years, so that player might not be in the team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also something that's fun about going to games in general where it's like you walk around and you see at any game the most random old jerseys. But it's one of those little, you know, one of those little quirks you kind of forgot about with crowds not being around mm-hmm. that it's fun to see again.
Lollapalooza is going to be a big city for that.
No, but Porzingis was like the guy here for
a
minute.
The unicorn.
Yeah. Okay, good job, Hank.
Nice, Hank.
Did you have a good weekend?
It's all right.
Friday night, you showed your ass.
Yep.
Yeah.
On a live stream.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
I didn't think that you had that dump.
No, yeah.
A little junk in the trunk?
A little cake.
Did you have any... Was it true that you had some streak marks?
No.
Okay. Thank you for addressing that.
You're welcome.
I also... I invited Hank to hang out with me on Friday after the stream, and he just never replied to me, so I think that's a feather.
Oh, well, you can
cap.
Thank Biz. I mean, we were doing a lot of Pink Whitney shots. I was pretty buckled by the end of the game. I just went home and went to sleep.
Okay.
Responsible.
And yeah.
Responsible Hank.
Somewhat responsible, yeah. Biz kind of... They put me in a blender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That will happen.
My who's back of the week is cicadas.
Mm.
Cicadas are officially back, and... A couple weeks ago when we talked about cicadas, I said be on the lookout for cicada content because we hadn't had like a cicada resurgence since the blogosphere has really been a thing. Cicada content is way more fucked up than I thought it was going to be. Like there's some cicada freaks out there.
They're just waiting to shine.
There's a guy that's like making action figures of like demonic like characters and comic book characters out of cicada shells. It's fucking disturbing. Of course there's like all sorts of cicada like recipes and like ways to cook them and ways to prepare them and
right.
fun things like that are kind of gross, but like we predicted that. I did not think that the internet had freaks that would basically like jack off to cicada porn.
Ugh.
Just weirdos. Look up the cicada shell action figures.
Yes.
It's ugh. Frankly disturbing.
Ugh. Is that it? Who's back?
Yeah.
Who's back?
Well, also Man City. Man City's back.
Yeah, they are. What'd they do?
They won top of the table for EPL.
Nice.
Man City, bitch, man. Ooh. Man City. Bitch.
Swans might
said,
be coming
you
up.
Said, you said soccer ended today. Who won?
Man City.
Yeah.
Top of the table.
Swans might be coming up next Saturday. They play a game to decide if they're coming up at Wembley. No big deal. All right, my who's back is just a woe stat for you. There was on Friday, no, Thursday maybe, the 20,000th MLB player of all time debuted, which is fucking crazy that if you think about it, this goes back to, I don't know, 1870 or something.
Mm-hmm.
20,000 players, that's it. So if you took every player who's appeared in a single game of Major League Baseball, they wouldn't even come close to filling a Major League Baseball stadium.
When you put it that way, it's kind of weird.
It's crazy to think only 20,000 players mm-hmm. have ever played Major League Baseball. It also puts into perspective just how incredible of a human being Dan Heron is.
Correct.
Because he's one of 20,000. And really, he's more like one of like 5,000 who were like really good at baseball.
And Dan Heron has gotten hits off of, what, two of those?
Yes.
Maybe upwards of five of those 20,000.
What was the Albert Pujols stat?
He's gotten hits off like 9% of anyone that's ever pitched in Major League Baseball. Not really that impressive.
Well, it's not as impressive when you realize that like for 75 of like the 150 years of baseball, it was pretty much just like the Yankees playing the Dodgers every year.
Yeah. There were like three guys named Gentlemen that were pitching.
Yeah.
A guy with three fingers. The best player in baseball had three fingers for like a decade.
Yes. Yeah. But that's just a crazy stat. 20,000. Because you think, I would have guessed way more if I had no knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about 150 years of the game being played. 20,000.
It is wild.
20,000. It was a backup catcher for the Seattle Mariners, which is kind of cool.
He got into the
game? He was the 20,000th player to appear in a game.
Does he win anything? Is it like at a supermarket when you're their millionth customer?
I wonder how many of those 20,000 like only played like less than 10 games.
Yeah, just got up.
A cup of coffee, guys?
Yeah,
cup of coffee in the MLB is such a cool thing to say.
I saw an article the other week, and I meant to click on it, and I feel bad that I didn't click on it, so if somebody could summarize it for me. But basically saying like if you get labeled as a middle reliever in baseball, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Unless you go out there and you have a streak of like 20 awesome games in a row as middle reliever, you're fucked and you're just going to like move around for the rest of your career and you'll pitch two innings a game like every other game.
Because no one wants to actually pay you like real money.
You'll never
just go. Yeah.
You'll never become a closer. You'll never become a starter.
I think cup of coffee in Major League Baseball might be the coolest, like I was an athlete, but not, I wasn't like a star kind of thing to say.
Yeah.
Maybe drafted in like, I don't know, maybe drafted in the NBA or NFL. But then people are like, what went wrong?
Yeah, how come you didn't last?
Cup of coffee in Major League Baseball means like you climbed it. Like you did it. You went through
right, there's
some
way more
shit.
There's way more grinders that make the MLB versus NBA or NFL.
Right.
Because
right.
it's just like there's so many less people. You have to be super talented just to get in.
Right.
And then you usually flame out.
Right.
It would also be sick if you were like a running back that scored, I don't know, like you're a backup running back that got in, scored a few touchdowns, and became like a fantasy must start for like three games to end out a season.
Right.
And then no one ever heard from you again.
Yes.
Because
that would be
then
cool.
You'd at least have like a built in fan base of guys who are like
Peyton Hillis.
Thank you for
that
winning
whole
me.
Season. Yeah.
Yeah. What's his name? Gray?
Jonas Gray.
Jonas Gray, yeah.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He slept in.
Yeah. Jake, who's back?
I have one. Did you guys see this Mariners lineup first? You're talking about the Mariners. There's like two or three guys that I think are like recognizable names.
Let me see it. I'll tell you.
Donovan Walton, leadoff hitter.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mitch Haniger, okay. Kyle Seager.
Kyle Seager's recognizable.
Yeah, Kyle Lewis.
Yeah.
I've heard of those three then. Jose Godoy.
That's the guy. That's the 20,000th.
Yeah.
Jose Godoy.
Right.
20,000th.
Sam Haggerty, Jacob Nottingham, Jack Mayfield, and Justin Dunn.
Hmm. And they had some kid who came up recently who's like supposed to be a superstar. The Mariners are low key, and this is now just a direct shot at our friend Spencer Hawes, who may or may not be trying to get Kwame Brown on the show.
Jared Kelenic,
he's
going to
be sick. Yeah,
yeah.
The Mariners are like one of those teams. It's kind of like Minnesota sports and the Seattle Mariners. You don't really understand the sadness until you actually like look into it a little bit, and you're like, oh shit. They haven't been in the playoffs
ever
since 2001.
Pretty much never. Yeah,
and they had Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson and A-Rod.
I mean, that team was one.
And
Edgar
you could
Martinez.
Just name
guys. Jay Buhner.
Yeah, and like they had all those. They had Ken Griffey Jr.
Tino
A-Rod,
Martinez.
Was Tino on it?
Yeah, I think he was.
Ichiro.
Yeah, I mean that's later. But yeah. I'm saying like they had A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson and Edgar Martinez all at like the height of their powers. Those are four Hall of Famers and nothing to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. So I didn't mean to do that. That was a complete tangent. I apologize to Mariners fans. That's complete assault. But it's more actually saying we feel your pain. When was the last time they went to the playoffs? 2001. And what was their record? Was that the
16?
That was
46.
The yeah. They lost to the White Sox, right? In the first round.
No, they lost to the Yankees in the ALCS.
In the ALCS. Okay, never mind. They beat the White Sox in the first round. Maybe
they beat the Indians.
I'm just
White Sox was the year
I think
before.
You're thinking, I think you're thinking Indians. Of the year they yeah. broke the record.
Yes, that's right.
And then they lost in the first round.
Yes. They, yeah. Was that the year before? 2000?
Yeah, 2000, yeah.
What was their record?
91-71.
Okay. So that wasn't the record.
No, it was 01 was 116.
116.
And 46.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They had a couple years where they were really, really good and missed the playoffs, too.
116 by wins, luck. Though?
116. They lost the AL Championship Series. So they did win around... They won a round in the playoffs.
But it's been
in
20 years.
2001 and 2000.
It's been 20 years. And I remember I went to a game out there like 3 years ago. Awesome
great,
ballpark.
Great park. Great food.
Great food. Yeah. Great park. Really cool. Highly recommend it. But I looked up and there was like a banner that said AL West 2001 or whatever. It might not even been the AL West then. And I was like, holy shit. Is that the last time they went to the playoffs? And it was. This is your sad.
They've
Mariners
won like mid-90s amounts
this
of games.
This is really sad. I'm
a
sorry.
A couple times, and they
I
missed
apologize.
The playoffs when that happened.
I really apologize.
Oh, they know. They know.
No, I know, Mariners but it's fans, just very sad yes, to like say. But
they,
I,
you know what?
It's
they probably appreciate the fact that it's correct. Being brought up because sometimes when you're playing out west on a team that's as unremarkable as the Mariners are, you lose that vibe of being like the most lovable losing franchise.
But they have like a coolness factor
that's
because of Ken Griffey Jr.
They should be lovable losers at
yes.
this point.
And it really is. It's more shining a light like when you talk about like these certain cities where you're like, oh yeah, it's worth, like we always talk about Cleveland or we always talk about, you know, the Bills, like, but no, there's some really bad ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. All right. Enough of that. Let's do our interview with Paul Bissonnette and then we're going to wake him up. And that should be very exciting. Our interview with Biz was brought to you by our friends.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Here he is, Paul Bissonnette. Okay, we now welcome on the man, the myth, the legend.
He just
farted. I'm running on fumes right now.
I literally just farted his entire way into the studio.
Outside the door. Did it trail me?
Oh, yeah. I heard it, and then I was like, oh, yeah. No,
oh, yeah, I'm getting it now.
Yeah, I got a little bit. It's Paul Bissonnette.
You can probably smell it through your earphones.
I got caught in the tuxedo shorts. I tried to give it the old.
Is there anything worse? There's nothing worse than being like, all right, I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to fart outside of the room and just having it just tail all the way
I actually didn't give one fuck. I wish I would have let it rip right in the middle of
you
this
should've.
Room.
You should have. If you got another one, just let it go.
Biz is beaming right now. He says that he's running on fumes, but this is Biz Nasty in his element. He's done 4 streams in 4 days. Yeah. An Iron Man streak, some may say, beaten by anybody. Hardest working man in media.
I would say Phil Mickelson, Paul Bissonnette achievement this week.
No, you.
4
you.
Straight yeah, days, kind of like a major.
Yeah, yeah. But so, not, this is actually technically 5. This is your 5th.
And should we talk about it, or is this a sensitive subject because he beat
we already boy. Talked about it on the show earlier.
Yeah, I don't know why you're coming at Brooks.
We brought you on to talk about NBA. So is LeBron James the toughest person in sports?
I haven't been following any basketball.
All right, yeah, let's talk some hockey.
Hockey has taken over the sports universe.
You are a Twitter account right now. You are the person that we were talking about on the show that replies to Big Cat and says,
NBA's irrelevant.
Talk about hockey. Why are you talking about
But
NBA?
Here we are. Let's talk about some hockey. I actually have some questions.
Where do we start?
Would you want to start with the question we asked right before this whole started, this whole taping started? You looked up. You saw the Avs closed out the Blues.
I wasn't even paying attention.
Is anyone beating the Avs?
I don't know. But I tell you what, everybody in hockey has been waiting for Avalanche Golden Knights. And I think everybody was skeptical on whether it was going to happen. Minnesota came in with a bit of a wagon. They made a late push at the season where everyone was like, oh, geez, are they going to knock off Vegas? I think it's going to be Vegas, Colorado, and it's going to be a juggernaut of a series, and we are going to see it.
You think whoever wins that series wins a cup?
I think that those are two of the biggest heavyweights. The only, I mean, we talked about, I think last time I came on the show when I predicted that the Philadelphia Flyers were going to win the Stanley Cup.
You just did that to yourself. I don't remember that at all. Like, you just self-owned it.
I thought maybe some team from the North would have an easy entry to the Final Four where they wouldn't have been tested as the Avs or Golden Knights would in the second round.
What? So, wait, the other
team... It
kind
of sucks that the two best teams get to go face off in the second round.
Yep.
But,
and also that John Tavares got hurt and is probably out. Do you think he's out for the playoffs? I would assume. I mean, that was.
I don't know. They
bad.
Said no structural damage, but I mean, with concussions and how serious it was, and then actually there was reports that came out afterward about how his knee had been injured. Now,
ooh. Well, yeah, his knee probably got injured because look, I'm not telling the equipment staff.
Yeah, I'm not a trainer.
Trainers
either,
what to do, but that was
a lot of dead weight.
Look, when they went to try to, like, they picked him up like a puddle. They tried to pick him up like he was water, and he was just flopping everywhere because he was very concussed. It was basically Will Ferrell in the Flint Tropics, whatever that movie is, where they're just, like, dangling him.
Yeah, they were playing origami with Tavares' body.
What does that mean when you say no structural damage, but he has a concussion? Where does it, what is part of the structure?
Well, I thought originally they thought that maybe his orbital bone had been smashed because his knee hit him right in the face, right? So no structural damage is important, but as far as a concussion is concerned, it could be 3 to 4 weeks based on, like, how that looked.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think about the fight after? Because I know there was a lot of people who were very upset about it.
Like,
I think it's partly because it's Corey Perry, which I understand. Yeah. And there was a lot of people like, what are you doing? There's like, that's not going to make John Tavares come back. But I the way I saw it was it's guys who are competing at a high level, playoff hockey, emotional. You don't know that it was a complete accident. And then your initial reaction is we got to defend our fucking guy.
Fair. Mind you, at the face-off circle, Foligno said, I know it was an accident, but I have to do this. So there's so many variables.
Okay, so that is then like old-school meatball shit.
It's the most hockey thing ever. Yeah. Be like, hey, no hard feelings, but let's
I didn't know he said that.
I'm going to punch you in the face. No offense.
All variables considered. Foligno comes over from Columbus. He wants to make an impact. First series, the captain gets knocked out. It happens to a guy who's a bit of he's a heel. Corey Perry.
He is, yes. That's what I'm saying. There are certain guys, when they hit someone, even if it's an accident, you just assume he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
So Corey Perry's in that category. So he
wants to implement a little bit of pain to Corey Perry for implementing pain to his team, in a sense. And on the flip side of that is, when something like that happens in the midst of a game, let alone a playoff game, both benches are completely depleted because they're both concerned about the health of the player. In my opinion, that Foligno fight right off the face-off with Corey Perry completely resets the mindset of both teams to we're right back in the midst. This is playoff hockey. Not to say it didn't happen, but we're trying to forget about it as soon as possible. So I actually like that. I thought the rest of the game was awesome. It was very competitive, given the fact that something as serious as that and the game got fucking kind of timed out for what? 15-20 minutes as he took the Iron Pony off the ice.
It's almost like
it was a kickstarter back into the game, and the fact that he gave the thumbs up on the way out, I think, let his own team know, hey, I'm going to be all right. So it was very sad in one sense, but it was nice to see the game get back going in the other.
Mm-hmm. What about the Caps Bruins series? I'm just going to assume it's the first intermission right now. It's 0-0. Caps have looked pretty bad in their last four periods of hockey.
Because at the beginning of the show, you might be doing soggy sorrows.
But I'm already accepting the fact that the Caps will probably lose this game.
Yeah.
They're like 99% chance going to lose this series because they don't look like themselves. They look old. They look injured.
They're banged up.
They're very banged up. Thank you. Okay, so that's the spin zone. I was wondering what spin zone I was going to use. But if we were at full strength, then this is a different series.
Apparently, Oshie's banged up.
Uh-huh.
And, it's not their year.
So, when it comes to Ovi...
This is the start of their championship TV.
He's a free agent. It could be. Yeah, it could be.
It's not their year. Paul Bissonnette, who said it's the Flyers' year.
You know what? And you could say I took that personally.
You fucking asshole.
So, what happens after the season? Because Ovi's a free agent going into this offseason.
He's going to Buffalo.
Shut up. I think I'd probably be okay with that. I'd probably be fine with Ovi going to the Sabres. But I don't want to see him play for another team. Do you think that, because he said it's like, I either want to play for the Capitals or I want to play in Russia for the rest of my career. Do you see him going somewhere else?
Yeah, Russia.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to
so
be
there
playing.
You go.
I'm fine with that. Him and Putin team up for like 20 combined goals a game.
Where'd you land on the Tom Wilson shit? I know where Whitney was.
I mean, take a guess where Biz.
Well, no.
I think I was in here when it all happened.
No, yeah. No. Like, I'm saying.
That was another Tom Wilson.
The Rangers. Yeah. Tom Wilson. With the Rangers. Where did you land? We know where, you know, Whit landed.
I landed on the fact that Panarin went spider monkey on his back. And,
right.
And in the heat of the moment, he threw him off. And I, as a Rangers fan, yeah, I probably wouldn't be happy. But, yeah, I thought that no suspension was the right call. And that was it. We moved on.
Yeah. And do you think that there's, like, so it feels like obviously they've phased out fighting in hockey. And part of, like,
that's not true.
Well, it's definitely different than
if you check the analytics to this year, it rise like 40%.
Really?
And people credit it to the fact that it was all this in division yes. play. Yep. But I think that the hate has brewed back up in the NHL, and you're seeing it in these playoffs. And that's why, more so than any sport, I think that hockey has, like, it just rises to another level when it gets to playoff hockey. Every fucking whistle, there's a scrum. The hatred is real. Every series in the first round is competitive, unlike the sick just, league, where it's half the series are 4-0.
And the Avs just swept the Blues.
That's correct. Yeah, that's the one sweep of the series. That's because the Avs are, in fact, a juggernaut.
What about this, Biz? I think that there's more fighting in hockey this year because it's kind of a backlash. The players are backlashing against the media because the media has gotten so soft.
Correct.
When it, like, you've got the number one hockey podcast, Spittin' Chicklets, basically neutering the game and trying to take all the physicality out of it. And the players are out there, and they're like, you know what? We're going to prove to you that this is still a physical game, even though the media is trying to drag us in this one direction. Do you agree with that?
I 100% agree with
that. You can't play the game on a spreadsheet.
You cannot.
I do think that less fighting than 20 years ago is good, but you'll never get it all the way out of the game, nor should it be all the way out of the game.
Now, you say that half-jokingly, where the media kind of brought it to this place, and obviously concussions are at the forefront right now, and everybody's trying to understand what's going on with that, but I think that for a period of time, everyone was kind of in this, like, neutral standpoint of, like, is the game getting a little bit softer? Should we maybe take out the fighting? Eh? And it's gone right back the other way.
But your explanation of the Corey Perry situation, in that series between the Leafs and the Canadiens was the perfect example of, like, a player's perspective versus a media's perspective, where I didn't, I'm not thinking,
media members were going, why is this fighting?
It's like, and what you just said.
Well, there's a lot of reasons.
You had 20 minutes.
Foligno needs to prove himself to his new franchise to say, I'm fucking here and I'm ready to stick up for my teammates. On the flip side of that, you got a guy in the other team who I would assume most guys in the Leafs locker room hate his guts, which most other members in the league hate his guts,
right.
Corey Perry, because he every time he shows up to play in a game, he's showing up to win. And whether that's landing on the goalie, taking a cheap shot here, taking a cheap shot there. And that was their response. And even though it was an accident, I thought it reset the tone to the series, and I thought it was the right play.
But that's the part that I think everyone misses, what you said, you got 20 minutes, you're just standing around on the ice, hoping that John Tavares is okay. The Bruins just scored. Hoping John Tavares is okay, and then you got to kind of be like, hey, guys, let's get back into this. Like, it's playoff hockey, and that kick-started it. So I do appreciate your perspective on that. I have a question about the Lightning, who also... That is another series. So, actually, if you actually look at it, I think it's going to be Avs sweep. If the Bruins win this, that'd be 4-1. If the Lightning win their next one, that'd be 4-1. But you're right. Everything's competitive.
I think the Lightning are only up 2-1 right now.
I thought they were up
3-1, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'm
3-1. Yeah, oh, was there a game that this
afternoon?
You've been
doing a lot of streaming.
You've been doing so many streams.
Okay,
it's probably hard.
I think they added Lightning.
What did you think about the complaints about the Kucherov, like, coming in? Well, now he's hurt, but the salary cap. Because I know people were pissed about it. I personally think that you can't complain about it because those are the rules. Also, as a Blackhawks fan, the Blackhawks did the exact same thing in 2015 with Kane. So for people who don't know, in the NHL, the salary cap doesn't exist for the playoffs. So the argument is Kucherov...
Well, does it exist in any league?
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, you can be over the cap in the playoffs.
Well, can you get penalized for that in NBA?
Yeah, you can't be. Yeah, I think there's like a.
Okay.
I think you have to be under the cap or there's a luxury.
Oh,
tax.
Okay, I didn't know.
But
that.
Either way, in the NHL, you can put someone on long term, injured reserve, and their money doesn't count, and then sign a bunch of guys, and then when you get to the playoffs, if they get healthy oh, wow, now, like, I think the Blackhawks were about $5 million over the cap
yeah, they activate
in
them
2015.
Yeah, they activate them as the playoffs are kicking off.
What are you saying, Hank?
It's 2-1.
Oh, it's...
in the Lightning series.
Oh, really? Are you sure?
That's allowed 2-1.
That 3-1? Is allowed 3-1. I'm pretty sure it's 3-1.
Hank, did they play that? I think they played this afternoon.
Yeah, they're 3-1. 3-1.
It's 3-1.
You missed a game.
Oh, God, I got it. My bad.
You're wow, the Hank. So you're cool with it, though, because I know some people were complaining.
Is he the statistician?
Well, Jake doesn't have a microphone right now, but Jake, right after Hank said that, puking. Jake shook his head. He was like, factually incorrect.
Should we have a wrestling match right here to solve this?
He'll fuck you up. Jake will fuck you up.
Biz, not so do you think not me, fix him that? And Hank.
Do you think they'll fix that? That like salary cap gymnastics?
I think that, I think maybe the next CBA they'll address it. There was things that they had to address last time. Every time there's a few GMs who they'll read the whole CBA negotiation and they'll find a way to manipulate it.
Right.
Whether it's like eating, you know, other teams' players that can't be in the lineup in order to gain draft picks and take on that salary. I mean, the Coyotes have done it a few times. They took on Hossa. Uh-huh. They took on Datsyuk. They took on the end of Chris Pronger's contract.
Yeah, you guys are dominant.
Yeah.
You found all the loopholes.
Just a bunch of Hall of Famers that played a game for the organization.
Yeah.
Chris Pronger.
Raise their jersey to the Raptors.
So, all right. I've accepted the fact that my team's not going to go anywhere. Big Cat doesn't have a dog in the fight.
I think you felt it when it was your year.
I did. Hank is a Bruins guy, so I guess technically he's still in, but who knows, because the Capitals aren't shit, and they beat them in the first round.
Jake's Panthers are down 2-1 or 3-1, depending on who you believe.
Right. So I guess I'm asking who would be a good bandwagon team for us to hitch ourselves to, because I think we said at one point we would be a Maple Leafs as our Canadian team, but now it's like now that Tavares is gone, not looking so great for them. Should we stay with them?
Personally, I'm going to just go with the sport of hockey, because I don't know if you know, but like playoff hockey is just different.
I'm cheering for a respectful handshake line.
Yeah. Maybe Vegas, because they delivered your first.
Oh, that's true.
I do owe them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, snap it around.
Flower. I don't like Fleury. He broke my heart too many times. There's some history there.
I could get the Avalanche. Like they're a young, fun team. I mean, McKinnon. What he? I think Stallion. He's. I think he's leading the playoffs and goals right now.
Yeah.
It's
a team
awesome.
Sport. I don't look at the individual numbers.
That's spoken like a guy who never scored a goal.
Yeah. Seven.
I want
seven?
Seven goals. What was your best goal?
You should also add, like, as the years go on, no one will know. Like, if you just say, next year when we're doing
Hockey
this, like,
DB
I heard I had 12. People would know.
Seven, and my best one was against the San Jose Sharks, and I chased the goalie. The goalie got pulled after I scored against him.
I think
the coach was like, yo, if this guy's fucking scoring, then you're out of here.
What'd you do?
Retire.
Set me up. Walk me through like what was going on in your head for your best goal ever.
It was the first game after All-Star break. My legs were cramping up because I drank a lot in Vegas, and we ended up having a good time during that All-Star break, and then we were in the offensive zone against San Jose. I think it was in the first or second period, actually, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson set me up in the slot, and it was the perfect setup, and I ended up going to Top Cheese, and it made it 3-0.
Top Cheese? Were you meaning to?
Yeah, I think so. In that moment, yes. And then we went
up. Did you have a celly ready to go?
We went up 3-0, and then
here we go. And then they scored. Jake's got it right here.
Yeah, there you go. And then they scored 5 unanswered, and we lost. But I had my guy, and I scored
5 unanswered?
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Top cheddar.
There's Niemi getting pulled.
You were jacked up.
I had my guy, high fives to the bench. Todd McClellan, water bottle swig. Get him out of here. Get him out of
here. Let's see the replay here. All right.
That was Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Sick assist.
Boom.
Who's in goal?
That's your best goal ever, huh?
Yeah. Niemi, nice. I think he had.
Niemi, yeah.
I think he won a cup with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. This was after.
So during the Blackhawks runs, were you just following them around, trying to ride on their coattails?
Patrick Sharp was probably the nicest person of all time. You guys have had him on Spittin' Chicklets?
No, I don't. Maybe before I was on.
He basically was like, yeah, you can come hang out. And when they won in 13 and 15, just like there was a moment where I was on the bus, and it was like the whole team and just me. And Kane was like, what are you fucking doing here? I was like, Sharp invited me.
He gave me the what the fuck.
Oh, yeah. He was like, who the fuck brought the blogger? I was like, Sharp did. Which was fair for him, especially because like the media wasn't really nice to Patrick Kane.
Did he warm up after
big time.
Yeah,
big
he's
time.
Probably like, I just called this guy a blogger. I should probably be nice to him.
I mean, I was. That was my entire job then, so it was totally fair.
Now are you guys playing tummy sticks? Like,
who?
Via DM? You and Patrick Kane?
I mean, I haven't talked to him in a while. I think if I saw him on the street, he would say, what's up? Yeah.
You saw him during his crazy days, too.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
He's cleaned her up quite a bit.
Yes. I think he has a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And should we mention?
No, don't. It wasn't a setup.
That was just a segue. We already congratulated Big Cat earlier on the podcast. You dump loads, we get it.
Having a kid means nothing to everyone else.
You dump heavy loads, we get it.
We call him the rope man.
Is there
a process to impregnating a girl? Like, do you guys, what's like?
You definitely
when a man and a woman love each other very much.
I know, but like, do you know when they're trying?
Do you think you'll ever be a father?
Maybe.
Yeah?
But I'm saying is like when you know you want to get pregnant, like you go out together and like drink wine one night and like, you know, go for a nice dinner and then you just come home and you just raw dog, just dumping load after load and just hoping it connects.
That was so romantic.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, and then a light bulb goes off. Boom.
Yeah, I've always wondered, like, when you are getting a girl pregnant, do you know, like, the second after it happens? No. Do you walk away, you're like, no. Kobe?
Are you dropping Peter North loads? Are you dropping big, heavy ones?
Dude, Peter North is part of this show lore.
He's Canadian.
He's part of this show lore. We showed him to Scott Van Pelt on one episode.
You guys should
of
get
TV
him on
right?
and ask how he was able to like, collect.
We also showed him the MILF Hunter on the show because that guy went off the grid. Like, nobody has ever disappeared harder than
no,
the
he
MILF
pops up
has.
Every now and then.
I need
people
to
have pictures.
Him.
People will like take pictures of him with him like in like Florida. I think he lives in Key West. Peter North, we also showed his cock to Peter King.
Peter King actually, he ate it. Like,
yeah.
Peter King
he was
took,
like, oh,
he
well, that's a cock I know.
He was like, that's a penis. Weird. Yeah. That's penis-ish.
That's a Peter. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Now here's more Paul Missonette. Real quick change of conversation. You guys talk about the Vegas flu a lot. And you've documented that it's a very real thing. You just talked about it. Although that might have been you just sliding into the fact that you were injured again when you scored a goal to make us realize how tough you are. But the Vegas flu is real during the regular season. Is it real during the playoffs? Like, are teams going out in Vegas during playoff series?
No, playoff times, you guys lock it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're an absolute degenerate if you're chasing it in playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough times during the regular season where you can kind of unload. Although, on the flip side of that, the year St. Louis went to their cup, apparently they were having a blast throughout the entire playoffs, getting lit up. Usually on the road, in the hotel, they have this like away suite where you can play all the videos, games and stuff, and apparently they were getting buckled big time in their road suites wherever they were. And even when the LA Kings won their cup, every time they won a series, they were, I think, the eighth seed when they won it their first time. They were going out in Hollywood like 3-4 nights in a row, and they would just rip it up. So as far as Vegas is concerned, I don't think anybody who's traveling to Vegas right now to win a Stanley Cup is drinking. The game has changed a little bit.
Yeah. I just like how you say Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Vegas?
Vegas.
Organization.
Yeah, the Vegas organization is top class.
Jake, what do you think?
I think it's Vegas, but I think Vegas is cool because you put your little.
No, Jake just made you
spin on
put you in his back pocket.
Right. Speaking of putting back pocket, have you recovered from when I sweated you on what was that Wednesday
that was
night?
Bad
I beat
look.
The fuck out
that
of you.
That was live stream one. That felt stream, like 6 months ago.
I think that was live stream two.
I think that was the night that Big Cat impregnated his wife.
Well,
that
that's was, not how it works.
How the gestation
that's not how it
10
works.
Months ago? Was that 10 months?
That was 12 hours.
That's not how it works.
Should we explain the fact that girls are not pregnant for 9 months?
Yeah.
Did you explain this to your followers?
It's 10 months. Yeah, no, Biz, like, I blew his mind. 10 months.
I had no clue.
Because there's no month zero. Yeah.
It's 10 months.
I'm tired. What else are we going to talk about?
All right, what other big, like, takeaways do you have from the playoffs?
I'm
drinking a Coca-Cola right now.
Yeah, I'm struggling, guys. As I said, 4 live streams in a row, a couple interviews. Not a bit, just carrying this whole
sounds like almost
organization
like a full
on my
week.
Back.
it's like listing all the things you did, and it's like That's a work week.
What's the other? Oh, Edmonton's down 2-0. McDavid has not recorded a point. I don't. That's oh, kind of, that's, yeah. That's taken it, over Canadian.
They're up 2-0 in the game they're playing right now.
Is he no longer McJesus? You guys call him that all the time. It's like I would think that a player that had earned that nickname would show up in the playoffs.
It's hard because I mean he's basically having to live up to Gretzky, right?
And I don't or think, Jesus. Actually, no, Gretzky's
give us for give us the Oxford. Rankings of young guys. McKinnon.
McKinnon's number
Austin
two.
Austin Matthews.
In my opinion.
And then you're saying McDavid's number one?
Yeah, McDavid's one because of the skill set. I like McKinnon just because he's got this like pit bull attitude to where he'll throw hits and he's like type A, like he just wants to like step on your throat. And I embrace that in a competitor and a type of guy that I would want on my team as my first line center.
Perfect biz jinx. McDavid has two assists tonight. The Edmonton Oilers are up 2-0.
Well, you knew I would have put a gazillion dollars on the fact he would have put up a point after getting shut out in his two first games at home.
Yeah.
That was the easiest bet in history.
They were wearing
did you guys bet that?
They were wearing the
did
worst.
Did you guys bet that?
No. They were wearing worse sweaters. How much does that play in when a team comes out in like their worst alternates? Because you see the Oilers in game one, they were wearing the black with like orange
Friday
outline.
Friday night, yeah, they wore that too.
Oh, terrible, yeah. Terrible. They have great fucking jerseys. And then they go with
sometimes
that.
Sometimes you overthink it and it just fucks everything up.
That is true though. Like look good, play good, right? Like when you're wearing
look good,
your
feel good, play good all the time. Yeah.
When you're wearing the throwback Yotes with the cool fucking
the Kachina.
Yeah. Is that what his name
is?
Yes. Okay.
Well, they came out with a reverse retro this year, which was one of the jerseys they had early on in the organization where it's kind of like the Kachina head. What organization?
Yeah. I love how you say it. I fucking love how you say it.
Yeah. That's the good stuff. That's why people listen to your podcast. For those little things like that.
I fucking love how you say it. I'm being genuine right now.
And it has the purple on it, and I know that's Justin Bieber's favorite color, and a lot of these young kids like the purple.
Royalty.
In the uniforms now. Is that another word you like that I say?
Royalty?
Nope. No, uniforms.
Uniforms.
Organizations and uniforms.
Uni.
And we came out with a really nice reverse retro. I personally think that the Kachina is one of the nicest jerseys in all of pro sports.
What about a game that was like the Oilers on Friday night? It was 0-0, went to overtime. When it's a 0-0 game in the playoffs, are both teams just like afraid to make a mistake at that point? After like two periods of scoreless hockey, it felt like everybody was just really, really tight.
I mean, those are games where I'm like, perfect. I fit right in. Nobody's got a point. I don't got a point. This is great. Everybody's having a great time. Other than maybe the guys who are expected to get points. And at some point, somebody gets a point. Yeah. I don't really know how to answer that.
Until that point,
I love it.
You are
until that point, everybody is equal on the ice. Nobody's a minus.
Yeah.
Maybe if you look at the ice time, there's a difference, but it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. What is the moment, if you can point to it, when overtime hockey becomes drunk hockey? Is it the second overtime? Is it the third overtime? Because you know that moment where it just becomes like guys are just falling everywhere, sliding everywhere. It's not like nothing is crisp. Everything is just falling apart, and it's just you're hoping you get a lucky goal.
I don't know how I don't think I've ever been part of a game that went to like three or four overtimes. At that point, everybody's so tired, especially the guys who actually have to roll out there. I'll be quite frank. If a game went into like second or third overtime and I was playing in the NHL, guaranteed I wouldn't hit the ice because there was like a slim chance I would hit it in the third period of a regular season game. But yeah, I would say at the point of about second overtime, which happened in the Carolina-Nashville series today, where Nashville, who was getting drastically outshot, ended up prevailing.
Yes.
Where like the team who's working hard and generating all these opportunities and getting stopped, at a certain point, they're just like, holy fuck, there's a level of fatigue that probably becomes a level of drunkenness.
Yeah, it's a point of, it's like a great equalizer somewhere in that second overtime of playoff hockey where it's like, it has nothing to do with skill anymore. It's just someone's going to get a bounce and that will be the game.
That's like a live bet thriller right
there. Yeah, it is, but it's so much fun to watch. Like when you're like, okay, this game makes no sense. You're just, if you're rooting for a team, you're just praying that you get that bounce.
Correct, and the bounce was in the Nashville game is the fact that Bussin with the Boys.
Yep, Taylor Lewan.
He was there.
You knew his name. You didn't need me to.
Taylor Lewan.
And
he was crushing beers in the front.
And Will Compton. You didn't need his name either.
I knew Will. Fuck, I talked to Will all the time.
Nice.
Stop.
But Taylor never.
Well, he's just more popular, and I did kind of forget his name there off the hop. I thought it was a, I thought it was like Taewon or something.
Taewon.
Taewon's pretty good.
He's got all the tats and stuff. It's hard to figure out. But anyway.
Is there anything that like offensive linemen love more than just yugging beers at hockey games?
And getting free tickets, sitting shotgun, just probably free beers too.
They go to hockey games, they become Dana Beers.
And yeah. That's true.
But anyway, what were you saying about the that?
No clue.
That moment no clue. Changed.
That moment changed the whole game.
Yeah.
When he got up, it was pure domination by Carolina. He gets up, yugs a beer, front row center, and then kisses his wife, and the rest is history.
Boom.
How much do you miss seeing yourself on TV and having Ryan Whitney be like more like Paul Miss the Net?
Ooh.
I don't miss those commercials at all, guys.
But you wrote that, right? You wrote that line?
We were there, and we were struggling to find anything. And we came up with that one, which was sent to me, I think, via Twitter or something at one point. So I reused it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Breaking news, because Witt said that you wrote that.
Well, I technically did on set, yeah.
Okay. You technically wrote it on set. You read it on
set. So all your guys' material you just think up off never recycle fan.
Except
stuff?
For Billy. Billy does that. That's what you're talking about.
Where is that guy, Billy Football?
He's on his Rumspringa. He's taking a break.
Somebody tweeted at us fraternity leave for Billy. I thought that was funny. But I'm giving them credit, not saying that I wrote it.
You son of a bitch.
But you should have kept your mouth shut about that, because Whit had us believing that you were like the mastermind behind that whole vodka commercial.
I thought on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to put me down?
I don't.
Do you want to wrestle?
No, I think I've already demonstrated.
Jake,
want to
go 2-on-1? Jake
will fuck you up.
He's our pit bull. You were talking about a pit bull.
Want one? You want a piece? Rough and rowdy.
Jake would sell some fuck tickets?
You want to move some pay per views?
We should get back in the booth together.
We could. We could maybe TNT. Maybe they'll be calling for us, Jake. We should send in that tape.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have it. Yeah.
I did have a serious hockey media question for you. Now that ESPN is going to have rights to hockey, they're probably going to talk about it more. It's going to be featured more on the air. I think that they're going to try to hire somebody, because what they do at ESPN, they'll be like, we need to get our own version of Ryan Whitney, Paul Bissonnette, and RA, and Mike Rinelli. Shout out the Rolex. Who do you think they're going to hire, and they'll be like, this is our Spittin' Chiclets?
Well, they already have a few people. I think they got Ray Ferraro.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Boucher,
mm-hmm.
Leah Hextall they just hired, and I mean, Buchagross is there, plenty of people. So what do you mean?
I'm just saying, I think they're going to bring in somebody new, somebody like younger.
You can't replicate that magic on Spittin' Chiclets.
You can't, but they're going to,
you can't replicate RA and Wit and Biz being handled by Grinnelli. Yeah, shout out Grinnelli, by the way.
You can't smoke weed before you go on the broadcast.
Grinnelli being like,
you can't do any type of drug or drink alcohol before they hit the button.
I actually genuinely appreciate the job that Mike Grinnell does, because to book you on this, I had to go through a booker.
Yeah.
Mike Grinnell.
Yeah, and then
he was like, what time do you need
this? I was
this?
Trying to avoid it at all costs, considering the amount of alcohol I've consumed over the last 4 days, mm-hmm. but I somehow ended up here. And
all right, last question.
I'm holding it together.
Last question, because I know you want to take a nap. Give us your Stanley Cup final and champion.
The Flyers, we already know that.
Yeah. As of right now, you can pick anyone. Redo. This is your redo, your PMT redo.
It's hard because they reset after, like, in standings. It depends on who makes it, right? So
right.
I would at this point.
We know how playoffs work.
I would say Colorado. Shut the fuck up. Colorado and...
you can just say who's going to win.
Colorado and Tampa in the finals.
There we go. Okay. Wow, so Tampa will be going for back-to-back.
Only if, in fact, they did win this afternoon, and we still haven't gotten full confirmation.
Tampa, they won yesterday afternoon, so it's been more than 24 hours since they went up 3-1.
So I would say Colorado-Tampa, and that would be good for hockey. Two southern markets in the United States thriving.
Colorado's not
deep south. No, they're deep south.
You don't consider Colorado southern?
Colorado is absolutely
based
part
on
of the
north.
Based on the north south.
Based on the North American scale.
How would you?
Colorado is considered southern.
It's no,
no.
What,
it's
what
west.
Map are you looking
it's
at?
It's not. It's not north or south. It's west.
You know what? Fuck it. Colorado's part of the south now.
No, Jake, but you wouldn't say north or south for Colorado. You say it's out west.
Jake, if I took a map of North America and I said Colorado, I'd consider that more south than most of the markets.
Wait, hold on.
I think it's right around the middle of North America. Because it's in the middle of
No,
the
he's
middle
saying
country.
In the middle of the country, not
no,
North,
he said North America.
You're saying North America?
So, but that includes all of Mexico too. I think that Colorado.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Fuck. Mexico. Mexico's in North America.
Actually, doesn't it go all the way to.
Mexico's in North America?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, then forget what I said.
Central America starts Belize.
Yeah, so Panama is. No,
Panama's Central America.
Panama's. So Guatemala? Is Guatemala
Central? Also Central America.
All right.
That's the best thing about these podcasts. I think half of your viewers probably, or listeners probably didn't realize that Mexico was a part of North America.
Yeah, but in no way would you call Colorado. I guess if you're...
No, I'm with Biz now. Like, I think we should start referring.
I guess if
I know they are like the most skiing destination in America, but we're still going to consider them part of the South.
Well, and also if you're talking from someone like from Calgary, Colorado's as south as it gets.
Yep.
So there it is.
I meant all the teams in play. They're one of the southern teams.
I don't. Sure.
That's how my brain works.
I don't. Sure.
I think
like
just,
are the Coyotes a southern
yes,
team?
Yes, 100%.
But they're a west team.
Yeah,
they're west
south
west
southwest.
is the west is like L.A. That's west.
That's west. Yeah,
but is there, it southern?
It's also south.
I would consider it a southern team as well.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what
I
about?
Would.
I like how you interpret a map.
Anything south of the Canadian border is
uh-huh. southern.
Southern.
So Minnesota is a southern team.
The Patrick Waugh trade, that probably gave you your first real-life example as to where Colorado is, and you just knew that your goalie was going to a team that was further south than the Canadiens.
Yeah.
And you were like, that's the SEC.
Oh, I do have one last question. So you gave us your final. Would you feel any pride, or are you rooting in any way for the Canadian teams because it has been so long? Like, do you? I know you're a journalist. You have a podcast that covers the entire league. You also work for an organization, not a big deal. But if like push came to shove, would you prefer a Canadian team as a Canadian to win?
I would like to see the Leafs win it, but it would suck this year if they did with. Not fans in the building.
Yeah.
Because right now in Canada, there's currently no fans.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy because you got Montreal Canadiens versus Toronto Maple Leafs. Not one fan gets to see it in attendance. They said there was rumor that later in the series that maybe Montreal was going to start having fans, but even if it's like 1,500 people, it still ain't the same. Yeah. So
are they going to keep these divisions? That would be fucking cool.
So what I'm hearing is if. Potentially, if Toronto ends up advancing to the conference final, they might use Arizona as like a hub city. So let's say it happens Colorado, Toronto.
Right.
Well, Colorado's going to play out of Colorado, but where would Toronto? Because they can't keep going past the border.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's like a 70, unless at that point they allow it. But they would make a place like a Phoenix their hub city.
Well, that would fuck up Colorado because then they would be a northern team.
Yeah, and Toronto would be a southern team.
Let's wrap this thing up.
If you're going to Arizona, that's just changes the entire dynamic of this.
You're
playing a southern team from the north. If you're Colorado,
and Austin Matthews, the connection to there in Scottsdale / Phoenix would be cool. So
what's the connection?
Well, he was born there.
I was raised there anyway. There was another thing that happened there.
Oh,
stop it.
Uh-oh.
Stop it.
I thought that's what you were saying. I'm sorry. My last question. when are you going to get your haircut again?
I don't know.
I actually like it. It distracts from your nose.
Have you completely checked out?
You've checked out 25 minutes ago.
That's
does
true.
Your lady like the hair?
I think she likes it. Oh, I might get some cornrows.
You look like the dude who showed up at the start of Old Schools, like a hair for the gangbang. That's you.
That's at the start of the movie.
Have you ever been in a gangbang?
Oh, God.
I know the answer.
Group
to
sex?
That. All right.
Have you been involved in group sex, BFT?
What do you define as group sex? My left hand and my right hand?
What about you, Big Cat?
No.
You and Patrick Sharp?
Yeah. Yes.
On the bang bus?
Yes. Yes. We're going to go find the MILF Hunter.
All right. Thanks, Biz.
Thanks, Biz.
That's very insightful.
Jake, have you ever been involved in group sex?
If Biz no. called you up, Jake, though, and was like, hey, Jake. I got some group sex for us.
2-on-1, no back checkers.
And we get to be the host of an NHL game on NBC.
That's exactly how
that
he phrases
the dynamic.
Yeah.
Would you sacrifice for the squad?
It's an opportunity for more reps to get better in the booth. So
you can't make anything less appealing than saying group sex.
What if you knew your performance was going to be played to the masses? What if it had to go on the pardon my take social accounts?
Your group sex goes to the masses, but you have Al Michaels' career.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm basically, I should say Marv Albert. You basically have Marv Albert's career because of Marv Albert.
You wouldn't
Albert.
Do that?
Al Michaels' career is very appealing.
Yeah. What if you had a French dip Lisa Ann to get Al Michaels' career? Would you do it?
I don't know.
Also,
It's tough.
Yeah, it is.
He's right. It would like gel you guys as like broadcast partners forever. You can't get closer with a guy than doing that.
Yeah, it's true.
That would be would actually DP. Be great.
A little group sex?
Yeah, a little
one
group
hoop,
sex.
One of the badge?
I can just say all
that. Who's got the which group? Which one? Which yeah. which?
It's a multiple partners.
Which tunnel would you take, Jake?
I'll let you pick.
It's the ladies' choice. It's the ladies' choice. Yeah.
What a gentleman.
Yeah.
What a gentleman.
All right, Piz.
Good talk.
Thank
Guys,
you.
Guys, yeah. I'm sorry I didn't have much hockey
No,
insight.
You fucking crushed it.
Yeah, four live streams. Yeah.
Your brain's
four live streams, two interviews.
A lot of group sex.
Some may say the guy worked this week.
Wait, four live streams in how many days? 5 days?
Four. 5 days and Jesus. Two interviews.
Wow. Cal Ripken Jr.
It's a job.
Paul Bissonnette was brought to you by our friends.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, let's wrap up. By the way, this clip is so fucking sick of... Phil teeing off the 18th. This is what we missed. And this dude's going nuts, and everyone following him. 16 years since the last time he won a major.
I'm going to go hold this sausage pizza underneath Paul's nose.
Wait! Before you do that, let's do the Monday reading real quick.
Oh, okay.
All right. It's titled Sportsmanship. Not disrespect. The real story of what happened after playing table tennis with Hank.
Okay. Who's it written by?
Anonymous. Unnamed. You've all seen the clip by now, so I'm not sure how much of a backstory is needed. Oh, I think we need a backstory. It was another thrilling three-set match against Hank inside Stoolstream Stadium. He was on the winning end of a marathon's first set, taking it 25-23. I settled in as the match went on, evening the series. After a 21-9 second set victory.
And then came the third set, when I was fortunate enough to take that one in the series after a 21-14 win. But everyone is talking about her post-game handshake. When I went up to Hank and shook his hand after the final point, I walked away after, turned around, and saw that Hank was still down on the ground. So I decided to go back and attempt to help him up. I got in the position to do that.
Hank just shook his head in disgust.
Excuse me? Hank, can I finish? I got in the position to do that. He rejected my offer, and when I walked away, with the position I put myself in, it did look identical to the Allen Iverson moment.
Nice pointing it out. Nice pointing it out there, Jake. I'm here to tell you that this was absolutely not the intention here. Could I have stayed to the side and offered my arm out? Sure. But that's not what happened. And I get the hoopla over the position. I pride myself on being a positive person and having sportsmanship every time I compete. And that is what I was trying to do here. I'm sorry that Hank has to be on the other side of this as well. Because as I mentioned before, that was not what I was going for. I was genuinely trying to help him up. That's it.
More importantly, for the second consecutive week, we had a $500 progressive jackpot winner. Congratulations to Steve Kolb for cashing in and going perfect on his picks. And that's a deep drive to left field, make it a 2-0 volume.
That's the important part of this.
Uh-huh. I like how you brought up the Allen Iverson thing. I love that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm not going to beat around the bush. It did look like it.
Yeah. Jake,
that's what happened.
I think you should also just remind people that you were merely positioning your hips in the most powerful stance possible, mm-hmm. so you could lift him up off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was trying to help him up.
You had squared your hips to Henry? His chin.
I have no problem with anything Jake. Well, no, I do have some problem with Woody, but like my issue is entirely with like babyface Jake pretending like it was sportsmanship and he was trying.
It was.
To
it was no, 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 no. Hey, let me read this. Let me read the title.
He's a psychopath.
Sportsmanship.
There was a video that came out after the fact of him practicing. No one on the other side.
Yeah, because you didn't schedule me a match to play beforehand.
So he was. He's just. You're a psychopath, Jake. You did what you did on purpose.
Nope.
You're. You're, it's all right. I had no problem with that as a competitor myself. I know that's how it is, but I don't pretend to be
pretending
Mr.
Man in the Arena,
nerdy Jake Marsh. When in reality, I'm a psychopath.
I am
that's
not
all right.
Pretending. I'm not pretending.
Fucking love it, Jake.
You can take my word.
All right, before we wake up Biz to end the show for his number, I had another kid.
Congrats on the sex.
Thank you. It was awesome. Much recommended. If you ever have a chance to have a child or two,
get a couple.
How do you do that?
We already covered that.
No, but it's the only thing that sucks, and I was talking to Hank about this when I got in the office today, is that it's also my who's back of the week should have been people gatekeeping my life, being like, there's nothing worse than I'll tweet about a Cubs game, and they'll be like, bro, spend time with your family. It's like, listen, guys, I got it set up. I spend a lot of time with my family.
Multiple screens, by the way.
I love being a dad. It truly is better than anything else. It's fucking awesome. It was the coolest thing ever, having my son meet my daughter. He did, like, 2 minutes after he met her, go and get her a dog toy, being like, here, this is it. So I think he just thought, like, he was going to have another Stella.
That's honestly, like, the nicest thing ever, though, because in his brain, he thinks that the coolest thing that you can do for a friend, his best friend is probably Stella or one of them, is to get one of their favorite toys.
Yes.
Like, in his brain, he was actually like,
this is good.
Putting a crown on her head.
And he was very sweet and he was happy. And then like 5 minutes later, he tried to poke her in the eye. I told her he couldn't do that. And then he was like really mad at me. But yeah, it was cool. Everyone's healthy. Mom and baby girl are healthy.
How are you?
I'm great. Very little sleep, but I'm great. I appreciate though everyone's congrats, and it was trending on Friday. It really does mean a lot. I know I don't talk a lot about my private life, but when I do open it up, it's always nice that people are nice. So I really do appreciate that. And also shout out the one stoolie who stopped me on the street on Saturday. I was with my son, and he asked for a picture. He looked like a better looking, taller version of Billy Football. He asked me for a picture, so I was like, yeah, sure. And he went to grab his phone, and he pulled out his phone, and out popped a Magnum condom. So I was like, well, that's cool, dude.
That's sick.
And I was like, yeah, your life is that way different than mine.
That guy's the best.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I didn't mean to do that.
Also, I thought it was very...
I want to hire you, dude.
It was very selfless timing on your part.
Yes.
Because Hank was trending on Twitter.
Yes.
People discussing the step over heard around the world. And you immediately took that out of the equation.
Yes.
Like, that's teamwork as a podcast goes.
So, I know some people were asking, like, will there be a Life Part 2 with Priscilla and Titus? Funny enough, we actually had it planned to tape on Friday at 1 o'clock. My daughter decided to show up on Friday morning. So, we're going to wait. We're going to hold off till we're all together, possibly later this summer. Because it'll be better together. We're going to do it over Zoom, which would have sucked. So we'll do that, guaranteed. Whether it comes a year from now, 6 months, 2 months, we will do that podcast. But seriously, it was an awesome weekend for my family, and I appreciate everyone's kind words. And, yeah, being a dad is the best. And my son also just broke the picking up the rocks and handing them to me like they're pieces of gold record on Sunday morning at the park. So,
hell yeah.
No big deal. I basically... He's going to be an archaeologist?
That's fossils.
Yeah.
What's
rocks?
Geologist. I had a professor in college who taught geology, and his name was Rocky.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
They call it rocks for jocks.
Rocks for jocks.
Yeah.
Oh.
The science class.
Do you think Mello?
Oh, what if we took the same class? I think it was Geo 103 or 110. I took
that would be wild
year.
If he took it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about crack.
No.
Lamar Odom took that one.
No.
No.
All right. Let's see if we can wake him up. So
48.
PFT, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe on the YouTube. PFT is putting a piece of pizza in his nose. Oh, he's sniffing. He's humming. He's moving. Biz.
No, thank you.
What'd he say?
Pizza.
Pick a number between 1 and 100.
Biz, pick a number.
Pick a number.
12.
12. Hey, Biz, did you hear what happened with Connor McDavid?
No.
They lost.
Tell him. They lost. They're up 4-1. They blew a 4-1 lead.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
And then he, like, destroyed a water bottle after the game. People are Mike Trout is trending on Twitter right now because McDavid lost.
Yep. Biz, any words? Did you listen to the show, Biz?
They lost. All right, give me
18.
8. Go
46
eight again.
Not eligible for those picking up.
99.
Name said 86.
Oh, he said it was 12!
Fuck. 19.
19.
One away.
I wish we had gotten him.
I saw 12 dancing around up there.
I did too.
It was Biz, close.
You should probably go home.
Jake, do you have a...
I'll still be here for a few
hours. Let's go journalism fact.
Journalism fact?
Yeah.
Dick Clark was a huge fan of the Flintstones, and he once purchased a $3.5 million estate in Malibu, California that was bedrock-inspired.
Oh, nice. There's nothing worse than
a pussy palace.
Having someone doing a full podcast that you thought was a banger and having someone sleep through the entire thing. Like, that's such an ego check on us.
Mm-hmm. Love you guys.
Shine away. I'll be coming for you anyway. Take on.